Now, I am delighted to welcome back to the programme Near FM's political analyst, John Morgan. John, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Donny. How are you?
I am well. And yourself and all the family, John, keeping well, yes?
Keeping very well, Donny. Thanks a million.
Excellent. Now, John, we haven't spoken for a long time because had we spoken, we would have been talking about politicians who were talking. It must have been, was it the longest conversation in the history of the state so far? 180-something days, was it?
Yeah, I think Tony, it went, I think, nearly to the day, 20 weeks between 8th of February, the election, if you remember, and to the 27th of June, you know, a Saturday to a Saturday. I think it's exactly 20 weeks. So there was a lot of talking before we finally sealed the deal, Tony.
Anyway, John, the deal is done. We have a new Taoiseach. Finally, Micheál Martin has achieved his lifelong ambition. Leo Varadkar is now the Taoiseach. And there have been other changes, but can we talk about two of them first, two ministries first, John, which I find fascinating. Justice and education.
Sure.
The education minister replacing Joe McHugh, she seemed to come from absolutely nowhere. And Helen McEntee, now my personal belief is that she would have been better employed in maybe even the portfolio that Leo Varadkar has got, because her expertise, and in fairness, she did play a very good game when it came to Brexit. And I think business and all that is going to be very important because Brexit is on the horizon. So I was surprised to see her getting justice.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tony. In a sense, it is a reward for a kind of a very good performance. I think a lot of people would acknowledge in the Brexit, the European Affairs junior portfolio, and she, I believe, is, you know, would be quite a strong ally of Leo Varadkar, and I think, you know, her time has come, I suppose, in that sense. And you're right, it's a big role and extremely different from what she's done. I know she has academically a legal background, but it is a big difference. And it's a portfolio that Fine Gael wanted, and there is a lot going on in that space if you think about it. She's spoken about it over the weekend herself, Donny, talking about the findings in the report of the Commission on Policing, and there's a lot of work there in terms of policing model and particularly community policing and communities having a say in that. Certainly, you know, the battle against organised crime that the state has, that all states have at the moment, is something that will need a lot of attention. Obviously, cybercrime as well. So, yes, she's certainly got a large portfolio, Tony, and it does feel as if it is a reward for a job done on Brexit, but quite a change, as you say, quite a change in terms of the look and feel of where she's going.
And education, John?
I'm no more insightful on that one, Donny, than yourself, in that, you know, Norma Foley, you're right in that sense. People, you know, listening this morning would feel, you know, where has she come from? A teacher by background, okay, that's a given. I think, you know, certainly a new TD and probably acknowledged to have performed well in the Dáil, albeit we as the members of the public won't have seen a lot of that, but our performance apparently in terms of contributions on COVID and those matters that were under discussion generally in the Dáil recently, you know, she did well. But that in itself doesn't particularly explain it. And I suppose, Donny, you're probably talking about, you know, is she a Micheál Martin loyalist? Has she been supportive of him in the background? That's about all I could estimate. I don't see where the particular. I mean, you couldn't really see her coming down the road, put it like that. So that is a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely Saturday morning she wasn't in the frame for a job, and that's for sure. No, I know. I think she propose her second Micheál Martin for Taoiseach, all right, in the convention centre, but.
That may have been the symbolism that, you know, something was coming.
Yes,
but
yes.
I think a lot of people would have felt, you know, that Thomas Byrne would get that role, seeing that he has been the education spokesperson for Fianna Fáil over the last number of years. For him not to get it, I think it probably was a big surprise, I would imagine, even for people in Fianna Fáil. So, yeah, that's probably the standout appointment, certainly, Donny.
Yeah, Stephen Donnelly going to health, as Brian Cowan described it one time, Angola. Now, if it was Angola in Brian Cowan's time, I shudder to think what the comparison is today, because, and we'll talk about the programme for government in a moment, John, but I mean, it was bad enough before COVID-19, but man, it's some mess now.
Yeah, that's a big appointment, Donny. As you say, this is, you know, health and housing are the two things that I think, to be fair, the electorate were shouting from the rooftops back in February. Certainly in terms of capacity, and again, he spoke over the weekend about that, about creating capacity, and that's a challenge. The public and private service is something that needs to be worked out. And of course, you know, for you to have COVID hanging over the whole thing, and the concerns about, you know, a possible spike later on in the year, et cetera, and trying to provide for that, and I'm sure trying to deal with frontline workers who I would imagine, Donny, are out on their feet after months of just incredible service to all of us. It's a big challenge. I think, again, if you look at that appointment, to a lot of people in Fianna Fáil, they would have felt, you know, he's a wet week in the place, and got a big plum job. So in that sense, he's under pressure all across the board. You know, normally it's coming at you one way or the other, but he's getting it from both sides. So yeah, it'll be a very challenging role for him, certainly.
And one of the portfolios, of course, John, that will be scrutinised and watched and analysed on a daily basis.
Without doubt, Tony, absolutely. And he's really going to have to hit the ground running. When you think about the former minister, Simon Harris, again, you know, people may have said, like, he would be well known as a communicator, a good communicator, and people would have given him credit for that. But of course, I think it's fair to say that it was a stormy road up to then. You know, things like the Children's Hospital, things like the yearly battle in terms of waiting lists, etc. So it was unlikely that he was going to survive. So Stephen Donnelly comes into this now, and of all roles, he really will have to hit the ground running. So it'll be interesting to watch, Tony, that's for sure.
Definitely, and Darragh O'Brien in housing as well is going to be an interesting one, because again, that's one that, as to use your phrase, John, that's one he's going to have to hit the ground running with as well.
Certainly, I think health and housing, you know, to come back to what I said, Tony, they are the two areas that people, you know, are particularly concerned about, and Fianna Fáil clearly felt they wanted the opportunity to tackle both of those. They wanted both of those, and they have them now. So yes, this is the pressure starts straight away.
Yeah, you would have to imagine, if you were Leo Varadkar today, that you would probably be smiling, because, you know, he kind of got rid of, if you'll pardon the expression, John, he kind of got rid of the dirty jobs over to Fianna Fáil, and they seem to relish taking them, you know. So if things don't go according to plan in health or in housing, well, he can say, well, hold on a minute, they're Fianna Fáil ministers, not Fine Gael ministers.
Well, or you could look at it a different way, Donny. You could say that, you know, if the government doesn't solve these problems or doesn't make significant progress in at least getting to where we all want to get to, you know, the government will suffer as a result, and he's part of that. There may be a sense that if progress is made, well then, you know, somebody turns around and says, you know, why couldn't you in your period in office, you know, have achieved it? It was an unusual comment, I thought, to say, you know, we have another opportunity, or something like that. The wording he used was, you know, we have another opportunity to do things right. And I think people probably responded quite badly to that. So, you know, I know what you mean about getting rid of the dirty jobs, but you're still part of the government, and the government together will stand or fall based on, you know, two places, which are two ministries which are pretty key, and you don't have your hand personally on the tiller of that, so you know, you don't have direct influence, and yet you're going to suffer if it doesn't work. So it's a gamble for the Fine Gael side of the government as well.
John, three sort of high profile things, and I would be grateful if you would take them as one topic and discuss them so that I can give you a good run at it. No Charlie Flanagan, no Richard Bruton, and no job for Jim O'Callaghan. Well, no job for Jim O'Callaghan yet, Richard Bruton or Charlie Flanagan. The junior ministries will be announced later, but and the Taoiseach's 11 for the Shannon will be announced later. But in the shake-up on Saturday, no Charlie Flanagan, no Richard Bruton, and I think most conspicuously of all, no Jim O'Callaghan.
Yeah, I was probably to take the two Fine Gael former ministers. I would imagine there had to have been an appreciation in Fine Gael that, you know, they were obviously going to have to give up quite a number of roles, and I didn't necessarily see Charlie Flanagan being one of those that was going to keep his job. I think Richard Bruton probably was closer to making the cut, I would have thought, because even, I would think, only about a week beforehand, he was being tipped to stay in government, so he's probably the one who will, you know, was probably closest to losing out. I couldn't see Charlie Flanagan remaining, albeit that, of course, he'd had two very high-profile roles in previous Fine Gael-led governments, Foreign Affairs and then Justice. But just where he is, I guess, in terms of his career, etc. To have a fresh look about the place, I didn't think he was going to survive. The Jim O'Callaghan one, of course, to go to Fianna Fáil is one that's got a lot of attention over the weekend. The Justice spokesperson for Fianna Fáil would have been hotly tipped. It's an unusual day, Donny, when Mick Wallace tweets his support for Jim O'Callaghan and said that he was shocked that he wasn't in the government. I think if I was to estimate why it happened, I think it would be something to do with the personal relationship between himself and Micheál Martin. And I think at the time when Micheál Martin had set out to create what has turned out to be the government, a coalition with Fine Gael and the Greens, Jim O'Callaghan had come out very publicly to talk about how Fianna Fáil had too quickly given up on the possibility of a coalition with Sinn Féin, and possibly Micheál Martin may have felt that he kind of, you know, tried to do him down there, and if he did feel that, then the likelihood of him getting something would be less. Would he take a junior role? That's the other thing, Donny. He may decide not to. Others will, of course, say that he's a possible future leader of Fianna Fáil. And again, you would have to ask if this structure, you know, stays en route to Micheál Martin finishing up or rotating the Taoiseach role at the end of 2022. Would he then decide to step down as leader of Fianna Fáil, and would Jim O'Callaghan bide his time until then? It's interesting. My gut feeling is he may not want to take a junior role and may see that as a snub somewhat. So it'll be interesting to see those names come out. I think there's talk of up to 20 junior ministries, and of course that's attracted comment from people in the Dáil about whether at this particular point where the country's under economic challenge, whether we should be having that many roles. I heard Alan Kelly talk in those terms over the weekend. So we'll see what happens when the names comes out. My gut is that Jim O'Callaghan may not want to take a junior minister role, but we'll see.
Yes, indeed. And many a slip between cup and lip, as they say, John. The programme for government, John, I have studied it, I have heard it analysed, and I have listened to people of your intellectual ilk discussing it. Long on ambition, short on detail, I think, is a very concise way that I would put it. Talk to me a bit about it, John, because there's a lot of stuff in it that's aspirational, maybe is the word I'd use.
I think that's probably the right word, Donny, and I think a lot of people probably haven't looked hugely into detail because there is arguably not a lot on detail insofar as it isn't costed and there's a lot of ambition, as you say. I think probably the one thing people will see is that, you know, it will have it's been described as, you know, a very much the green handprint or thumbprint on it. Certainly, it informs a lot of the policies, particularly climate action is a huge part of what the government want to achieve going forward. And I think it's something that very much have to get their arms around. But how they're going to achieve it is another thing. I think probably the other thing people would talk about a lot is there are a lot of referenda being promised about various things. So you're right, Tony. I think that's probably the way to describe it, is that there's a lot of laudable ambition there. When something isn't costed yet, you wonder, you know, how much or all of it is going to make the slate. And, you know, there's various vehicles, as I said, referenda or committees to be set up to look at different things. So it's very, very hard to get a really good sense of what will materialise. A couple of things that probably struck me as interesting. If you take the whole issue of direct provision, and, you know, that would have been something traditionally would have sat with the Justice portfolio, but I see that it moved over to Roderick O'Gorman's portfolio, and I know Roderick O'Gorman and the Greens are very much, in terms of the negotiating of the programme for government, were very keen to address direct provision, and that's gone to him. So it'll be interesting to see whether they can bring that system to a close and replace it with something more fit for purpose. But again, you know, we're still waiting in many senses for the detail, as you say, Donny.
John, before I let you go, and this is the toughest question, I suppose, of the day, or the morning, should I say, talk to me a bit about Micheál Martin and your analytical brain about, I mean, his political career to date is well mapped out, but what kind of a Taoiseach do you think he's going to make, John?
Yeah, that's one of those questions, isn't it, Tony? You know, I suppose if you look at the structure of the government first, people talk about the difficulty sometimes of coalition, but I guess as a country, we've been down this road quite a number of times before. And people sometimes say that three parties in a government rather than two can sometimes be a little bit easier. And we've had evidence of that. I mean, the Fine Gael and Labour and Democratic left government in the early 90s, which was a government which actually went into the following election together, Donny, contesting it as a partnership. You know, people will say that there were successes there. So maybe there's something there that we can work on. I tend to think he's quite a collaborative individual. You could arguably say more so than Leo Varadkar. You know, Eamon Ryan is somebody I think would probably maybe in the same mould. Certainly, Micheál Martin has been around the block before. People, of course, will always remember him as being a member of the government leading up to the IMF coming into Ireland. So that's something that will be there with him too. But I would probably go back to your first point, where this is probably realizing the ambition of a lifetime, and I think he probably will see this is his opportunity to put a stamp on public life. And I think, you know, it's the last big job, I guess, Tony. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if he does a relatively good job. But look, there's so many variables, there's so many headwinds against this government in terms of, you know, economic challenges as a result of COVID. We have Brexit. We have there's a lot of challenges coming down the road at the government. So, you know, that will dictate how well any one individual, albeit a Taoiseach and albeit an experienced TD, how well he could possibly do. But with a fair wind, I think he could probably do a relatively decent job. But look, you know, it's in the lap of the gods, Tony, isn't it? You know, when you look at, you know, we're only in the first few days of the government, and certainly there have been a lot of criticisms have come for the formation of the government in terms of a geographical divide. I don't tend to feel so concerned about that. I think people do probably feel psychologically it's good to have a particular minister from a particular part of the country. But 24 hours later, if you were to say, well, you know, that minister is in to look after the Northwest, I think people would be, you know, not best pleased, because at the end of the day, people are around that cabinet table to govern for the entire country. So I'm not particularly concerned about the geographical divide, but the criticisms have started early, and they've started also early in relation to the gender divide as well. Six women out of 18 being the 15 senior positions, and the chief whip and the two super juniors. So so the criticisms start early. So he has his work cut out for him, don't he?
John, before I let you go, there are three party leaders have led their party into this coalition government: Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar and Eamon Ryan. In your estimation, will all three, or will any of them, lead their parties into the next general election?
I think there's probably a decent shout that none of them will be around, Donny. But, you know, again, it's pure guesswork. The most immediate challenge, of course, is there's a leadership election with the Greens. You know, some commentators have said that they could see Eamon Ryan, you know, slip away quietly in the summertime. I don't know if that's true, but he may be replaced by Catherine Martin. So that's the first up, and that's coming quite quickly. So that's not necessarily going to be particularly helpful for the government either to have that going on in the background. So that's the first thing. We get to the end of 2022, Micheál Martin rotates out of the Taoiseach role. Is he going to stay around for the next election? He may feel that this is, as I said, you know, this is his last job, and he may decide to bow out altogether at that stage, and somebody else move in as head of Fianna Fáil and Taoiseach at that stage. And then we have Leo Varadkar. Again, I don't know whether he sees himself staying around. I mean, some people will say that the role he's taken, being the Minister for Enterprise, people are surmising that will give him what's been referred to as a not contentious role, and may give him the opportunity to travel around the country and to start trying to reorganise the party. I think Owen Murphy, the former housing minister, would be seen as an ally, and I believe he's been given a role in that party organisation space. So maybe he will stay around, maybe he won't. You know, he may feel that hills are greener far away, there may be a role in Europe, etc., etc. We also have Pascal Donoghue, of course, who's put his name into the hat for the head of the Euro group, so the group of Eurozone finance ministers. So again, you know, will he get that job? So it'll be interesting to see who'll be around halfway through when we get to half time in this government term.
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, Micheál Martin is 60, I think, in August. So that's August of 2020. By 2022, he'll be 62. As you say, at that stage, he's sitting on top of the mountain. There isn't much left for him. I mean, if you were in his shoes, wouldn't you be inclined to ask yourself, well, what more have I to do? I've done everything I wanted to do. I can go no further. Good luck. I'm out of here. I've enough of it. He will be, I think, 32 years in politics at that stage, I think, John, probably a little bit longer. 32 years in the Dáil, I presume, at that stage, you know, so.
Yeah, it just feels like a natural time to go, you would have thought. I mean, reorganising Fianna Fáil from where they would have come from around 2010, 2011 is probably, it was a hell of a reorganisation. Feet really. At times you felt as if maybe he was dragging his own party along with him, who at times you felt that he didn't have a whole lot of allies. I mean, if you look at the repeal the 8th, the abortion referendum, you know, again he seemed to be dragging a party in a direction that you felt many of them didn't want to follow him. So he may feel, look, you know, I've done as much, as you said, only as much as I can do. I fulfilled, you know, my lifetime ambition to lead the country. When I rotate out, it's time to let somebody else in. It would just feel like a natural end, sir.
More than likely, John, and as the Villa says, we'll have to wait, providing that the government runs its course, of course, and I don't think anybody wants another election anyway, because I don't think it would. I'm not 100% sure, John, that it would give us a whole different set of numbers. Maybe Fine Gael might get a little bit of a bounce on the back of COVID, but at the end of the day, they're there now, so we wish them well, and I hope they do, as was it somebody once said, who shall remain nameless, I hope they do the country some service. John Morgan, political analyst with Near FM. John, it's been a pleasure. It's been too long, but it has been an absolute pleasure. And sure, now that they're all back doing what they're supposed to be doing, we might get to chat a bit more often. John, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Great to talk to you, Donny. Take care.